Tonight, if you would, Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians chapter number 5. Now, I want to encourage you go ahead and get signed up for the stewardship banquet. I have some important stuff and be sharing with you. And last year we upgraded and put a new sign out front. And thank you for giving to the Lord. There's some things I want to share with you that we believe that we can do to enhance the ministry here at Calvary. And I'm going to be sharing with you some things that we want to take up an Easter offering and do to upgrade here in our own church. And so I'm going to be sharing some things with you about that, where we are on our debt, and also going to be talking with you about some other things financially. Bob Valier just finished up our church-wide audit, and everything's come out really good, and I appreciate that. Brother Mainwer and I will be meeting about the final parts of it. I met with Brother Valier on Thursday night, and so I asked him, I said, well, Brother Valier, I said, where would you rate the stability of our church financially during this time on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being bad and 10 being good. And he said, and I was really encouraged, he said, based on where you are and the rest of the country churches are, he said, you're an 8. He said, if you didn't have the debt, you'd be a 10. And so I want to say thank you for giving to the Lord, meeting the needs here at Calvary as our church continues to go forward and maintains financial stability in a difficult time. And that wouldn't take place if you weren't obedient to the Lord and giving to Him and being faithful in that area. So thank you so much. All right, Galatians chapter 5 tonight. Galatians chapter 5. And let's begin reading, please, in verse number 22. Galatians chapter 5 and verse number 22. The Bible says, but the fruit. Notice he did not say fruits. This is a ninefold cluster of fruit. They go together. You really don't separate them. Although we can manifest one aspect of the Spirit's fruit at certain times more than others. And sometimes when we get carnal and fleshly, we don't manifest any of them. And there's times when we're going forward spiritually like we ought to, that we can manifest all of them at the same time. And so you're going to find that they go together. But notice he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. He said these virtues are so godly, they're so right in our lives that there's never a need to create any law against them because of the fact that they are in a sense that they are righteous and good, and they're virtues that ought to be manifest in the life of the child of God. But heading the list is love. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. You know what? Just yesterday was Valentine's Day. It's my wife's birthday, too, and so I've got double trouble. But it was Valentine's Day. And the world around us celebrated, quote, unquote, love. Matter of fact, I'm always a procrastinator. How many of you men would say you're like that? And so I was already in trouble. And so I was out doing some visiting yesterday afternoon. And then I stopped in and visited the store where the cards were. And I can promise you, by the time I got there, it was slim pickings. I can promise you that. I mean, it was just wiped out, you know. But the Lord graciously helped me. There was a really just the right card hiding. A guy, he was looking at the very group I was looking at, and I was getting real nervous, you know, thinking he was going to grab that one, and he didn't see it. And I reached down, pulled it up, said exactly what I needed to say, and 5 minutes I was out the door, felt really good, and everything. And so we're celebrating that they celebrated this thing called love. I mean, you know, Valentine's going everywhere and all of this. But you know, the reality of it is we live in a world that's confused about love. They really are. The love they celebrate and the love that we celebrate as the children of God are many times and oftentimes not the same thing. Matter of fact, Madeline Murray O'Hare, that noted atheist, and of course you know that she vanished in 95. They found her body. Evidently one of her people that worked for her had murdered her for a large amount of money that either she had or they thought she had. And but she vanished in 1995. When her diaries were found, all right, page after page, here's what she wrote. Somebody, somewhere, please love me. You know what? There's a world out there crying out the very words of Madeline Murray O'Hare. Somebody, somewhere, please love me. We're living in a world starving for love because they really don't know what love is. Matter of fact, one teenager defined love and said it like this. Said, love is the feeling that you get when you feel that when you... Let me read that again. That was confusing me reading it. Love is the feeling that you get when you feel that what you feel is a feeling you never felt before. Anybody understand that? I didn't either. You know what? That's exactly how they describe love. But can I tell you, love is not a feeling. Rock star Tina Turner, here's what she said about love. She said, love is nothing but a second-hand emotion. She went on to write a song or sing a song, what's love got to do with it? And the reality of it is, so far as they're concerned and what they understand about love, absolutely nothing. But you know what? I'm glad that as the children of God tonight, we don't have to be confused about this matter of love and loving, that you and I have an inherent capacity to love God's way. And we need to learn about what God's love is, and then we need to emulate that and manifest it in our lives as the children of God. Let's begin, first of all, by seeing love defined. Love defined. Now, there are basically three different kinds of love that was talked about in the Grecian world. There was three Greek words, and the first of those was a sensual love. It was eros kind of love. It is a sensual love. And we would understand that to be a worldly kind of love, a Hollywood kind of love. It's sensual, it's sexual, but in reality, you don't spell it L-O-V-E, you spell it L-U-S-T, and you're not going to find that kind of love in the Bible. Matter of fact, God never mentions this Hollywood sensual kind of love. Young people, listen to me tonight, do not get your understanding of love from Hollywood. Can I tell you, friend, listen, if that's all you're going to get, then I can promise you in life you're going to be starving for real love and substantial love in your life. Now, we understand there's a second kind of love, because that love's far into the Bible, but there is a second kind of love that's mentioned in the Bible. And it is a social kind of love. It's phileo. That's the word you're going to find. And here's where the church at Philadelphia, all right? That word phileo, Philadelphia. Now, Brother Tom, you're up there from Philadelphia. That city's anything but the city of brotherly love. I guarantee you that you don't walk down the street hugging people. Isn't that right? Matter of fact, they'll mug you, shoot you, knife you, do all kinds of things. It's far from the city of brotherly love. We can promise you that. All right? But the word Philadelphia means brotherly love. It has the idea of a social kind of love. And by the way, you're going to find that it's in the Bible, and it's an important kind of love that ought to be evident in our lives. It's used in relationships of husbands and wives. Listen, you know what? You ought to be a friend. You know what? My best friend is my wife. She is. Fellas, your best friend ought to be your wife. Ladies, your best friend ought to be your husband. There ought to be nobody closer in your life than the man or woman that you're married to. And so we find that that love is in the Bible, and you need that kind of love in your relationships. But that's not the love that he's talking about in Galatians 5:22. There is a higher kind of love, and it is a special love. It is a spiritual love. It is agape love. And so we find that word used many times in the Bible. And that is the special divine love of God, the very outflow of His nature. Three times the Bible says God is love. Now, never does the Bible ever say that love is God. Alright? Doesn't say that. Love is not God, but God is love. One of the very essential natures of God, essential characteristics of God's nature, is the fact that He is loving God. And listen, His love is a selfless love. It is an infinite love. It is an unconditional love. It is a sacrificial love. Friend, I can promise you tonight, there's no other kind of love like it. Amen? It is a totally selfless love that delights in giving, even though the one loved is unworthy of love. You know what? Aren't you glad that God loves us in spite of us tonight? And it willingly sacrifices itself for the one love. This agape love, this special love, this spiritual love is a love that gives when it gets nothing in return. Friend, God said, I want you to love like I love. And you know what? That love needs to be in our relationships too. Amen? It's a vertical love, a love that God has for us and that we can have back for God. But it's also a love that is inherent within us that we can love other people in our families, in our church, out in the world. We can love God's way. But not only do I want you to see love defined tonight, secondly, I want you to see love demanded. Love demanded. You see, it's interesting when you look at the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. the fact that it's listed first in the Spirit's fruit is not an accident. And you say, preacher, why is that? And that's because love is demanded of the child of God. Here's what 1 John 4:11 says. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. If God so agape'd us, we ought also to agape love one another. We're to love with the same kind of love that God loves us with. And so we can love God's way. Now I want to talk to you about this love. Number one, it is the priority commandment in the life of the child of God. Jot this verse down. Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. I'm just going to read it to you for sake of time tonight. Here's what Jesus said. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Do you realize that you and I are to love God with every fiber of our being? We're to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Everything within us is to love our God. Vance Havner said this. He said the greatest need of the church today is to fall in love with Jesus all over again. And you know what, folks? I tell you what. You and I are never going to go wrong loving Jesus with all of our hearts. Amen? And then notice he said, and the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And on these two commandments hang all the law and prophets. And so, Christian, listen, let me remind you tonight that love is to be a priority in our lives. Love for God and love for others. Number two, it is the proof or the badge of sonship and discipleship. Jot down John 13, verse 35. He says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, that you have love one to another. Do you realize that the Lord didn't say, now listen, here's how everybody's going to know you belong to me, because you carry a big black King James Bible under your arm to church every Sunday. He didn't say it's because you wore a wore a suit and tie with a Bible strong lapel pin. So everybody's going to know that you're one of my disciples. No, that's not how. He said, here's how people are going to know that you belong to me, that you're a follower of me, that you're an imitator, as we preached this morning, a mimic of me, is the fact that you have love for one another. And folks, let me tell you, love is central to the Christian life. Now, this is not going to be on the board, PowerPoint tonight, but I want to give it to him. She's got it down. Number one, can I tell you that when you and I, as the children of God, His love is shed abroad in our hearts, we need to recognize that a new life, with that came a new constraint. Love in our lives is a new constraint. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. You don't have to turn there, but I want to read it to you very quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 14. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. You know what constrains us? It's His love that He had for us. You know what ought to motivate us to serve Him and love Him and live for Him and honor Him with our lives? It's the fact that He loved us when we were unlovable. And His love ought to constrain us to serve Him. Listen, it ought to motivate us to live for Him. We have a new constraint with a new life, come a new commandment. Jesus said, He commanded, He said, this is my command, new commandment I give I unto you, that you love one another. And that's what He's saying. He said, I want you to love as I have loved you. That is the motive of our love and the measure of our love, that we love each other the way Jesus loves us. I have to ask myself at times, do I love my wife the way Jesus loves me? Do I love her with the strength? Do I love her with the characteristics of that kind of love? Because that's the kind of love that I'm to give to my wife. As I stand in the place of Christ and she stands in the place of the church, picturing the love relationship that the Lord Jesus has with His church. Friend, listen, I am to represent in the sense that my love is to be like His love in that relationship of marriage. And do we love her like we ought to love tonight? But not only do we find it's a new constraint, not only is it a new commandment, I want you to find it's a new clothing. Jot down Colossians chapter 3, verse 14. And above all these things, put on charity or love. Charity is an English word in our Bible for agape love. And somebody says, well, you know what? I just believe the King James Bible is out of date. Look there, there's charity, and that's a giveaway. By the way, I think that's a pretty good translation, don't you? Because God's love is a giveaway kind of love. He loved us, and we don't merit any of His love. I'd say it's right on the money. And so we find that we're to clothe, that our lives are to be marked by love. Listen, I'll tell you this, you have a new covering. Jot that down. a new covering. 1 Peter 4:8, love covereth a multitude of sins. You know what that, you know what? Love just overlooks some things. It just does. I'm going to tell you something. If you're going to be married any length of time at all, you're going to learn to overlook some stuff. Am I the only one here? I thought maybe everybody had left or something. No, what I'm telling you is the truth. I'm reminded of the lady that she'd been married for many, many years to her husband, and the lady asked her, said, how did you go all these years without any problems? Does your husband never do anything wrong? She said no. She said, I just had a list of things, so to speak. What she was doing is making a point here. I just had a list of things that he better not do, but the things that he did do weren't on my list. What she was saying is I don't keep a list of wrongs. Love covers a multitude of sins. Love overlooks some things. It overlooks some imperfections. Love covereth a multitude of sins. And so we find that we're to have a new constraint. We're to have a new commandment. We have a new clothing. We have a new covering. Love covers a multitude of sins. And then I want to give you the third thing. Love is a permanent virtue in the life of the child of God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Would you turn there? 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Here's a great love chapter of the Bible. And I want you to look down at verse number 13. He talked about gifts that were going to pass away. He says that charity or agape love never fails, but prophecies, they're going to fail in tongues. He's talking about these gifts. It's not the prophecy of the Bibles will fail, but the gift of prophecy is going to fail, and tongues will cease, and the gift of knowledge will vanish away. But when you come to verse 13, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these, say it with me, church, is charity. There it is. It's love. It's a permanent virtue. It is fundamental and foundational to the Christian life. Now, the cluster of fruit that we read begins with love, and the reason for that is because all the other aspects of the fruit is really an outgrow of love. I'm not sure where I found this. I'd be afraid to say. I know it's not my own, didn't come out of my own brain. I borrowed it. All right, but I'm going to share it with you because it spoke to my heart and I can't even remember where it came from. But you can take Galatians 5 and lay it over 1 Corinthians 13. And here's what you're going to find. You're going to find that every one of the aspects or the elements of the fruit of the Spirit, all right, is in this list of the virtues of love. And I want to show it to you, okay? So we're looking in verse 13, First Corinthians 13, and we're going to start in verse number 6, and we're going to lay Galatians 5, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit. We've already talked about one, that's love, so there's eight more, and we're going to put them and parallel them with the virtues of love and show how that each of the aspects or parts of the fruit, manifestation of the Spirit's fruit, actually is an outgrowth of love in our lives, okay? So here it is. Number one, the strength of love is joy. The strength of love, love, joy, peace. So the strength of love is joy. Now look, if you would, in verse number 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter number 13. Notice it talks about charity, all right? And when you look in verse number 6, it rejoiceth not in iniquity. So you know what the Bible says? But it rejoiceth in truth. Do you see that? And so we find that love enables me to rejoice. And it brings joy in my heart. One of the greatest joys that a person has is not what they get, but what they give in life. Jesus said, it's blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. All right? Do you see that? Then notice this. The security of love is peace. Because the third aspect or manifestation of the Spirit's fruit is peace. Look, if you would, in verse number 5. All right? Notice he says, does not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. But here it is not easily provoked. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. You know what? If you love somebody, they're going to have a hard time provoking you to anger. You're saying, preacher, I must not manifest Spirit's fruit. All he's got to do is pull in the driveway and I'm already mad. Well, you're probably right about that. we're probably not manifesting the Spirit's fruit like we ought to at times in our lives. And that there are times that we need to look at ourselves and say, you know what? Maybe I'm not allowing the Spirit of God to help me to love like I ought to love. Because I'm going to tell you something. When you and I love each other, we're going to seek for peace and not war in our lives, in our relationships, and in our homes. We're going to seek to make peace. We're going to pursue it in life's relationships. Number three, the stability of love is long-suffering. Look at verse number four. Charity suffereth long. Do you know that? That means it puts up with some things. It bears up. Isn't that a blessing? It's long-suffering. I'm grateful for a wife that's long-suffering. Number four, the sobriety of love is gentleness. Look at verse number five. Thus doth not behave itself unseemly. Unseemly. And what it means by that is love is always a gentleman. Love is always a gentleman. It's gentle. It's not rough. It's not gruff. There's a gentleness. Man, listen to me. You can be tough and tender at the same time. You can be a man's man and have a tenderness of heart. Would we think that Jesus was something less than a man's man? But yet do we not see His tenderness? As He dealt with a woman taken in adultery? As He reached out and touched a leper? As He would have the little children to come to Him? As He would weep over a nation? Weep at a tomb of His friend called Lazarus? You know, we're taught when we're small, well, men don't cry. That's a foolish statement. The reality of it is that I want God to give me some tears and a tender heart. I want to have some sensitivity in my life. Notice he goes on to say, the simplicity of love is goodness. Look again at verse 4. And is kind. You know what love is? When we love the way God's loved, there is some kindness in our life. And it doesn't vaunt itself. And so we find that love is kind. And it's the fruit of the Spirit, and which is goodness and kindness, go hand in hand. And when I love the way God wants me to love, there's going to be a kindness about me. There's nothing wrong with having a little bit of kindness in our life. We live in a world that's so unkind. We do. We live in a world where people are mean-spirited and they're hateful and they talk with just an unkindness about them, and they talk harsh to waiters and waitresses. They don't have anything good to say to anybody. And you know what, dear children of God, tonight we need to be marked by the kindness of God in our lives. There's nothing wrong with saying thank you and please and you're welcome. There's nothing wrong with having some manners about us as the people of God. I say yes, sir, and no, ma'am, and yes, ma'am to people that I don't even know them. And you say, preacher, why do you do that? Number one, I'm afraid my mom will come and find me if I don't. But I'm going to say something to this generation of parents right now. You need to teach your children manners. Of yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am. And you need to demand that at home. You do. You need to demand kindness. They need to learn that. Yeah, nah. That doesn't become of kindness and manners. And you understand where I'm coming from? Listen, I tell people that when children and teenagers at Calvary Baptist Church are out in the world, I want the world to see something different about them. And you know what? That flows back to us, Mom and Dad. Demanding these things in their lives and building it into them. And you know what? It ought to just be natural, because it ought to just be a natural kindness in our lives because we're the people of God. Isn't God kind? And shouldn't we be kind? Notice, as we go on, number six, because I don't want to preach all night. The surety of love is faith. Look at verse number seven. It beareth all things, believeth all things. Do you see that? And we find that it hopeth all things. And so love and faith and faithfulness go hand in hand. Here in the Bible, it believes all things. And it doesn't mean that love is gullible. It doesn't mean that love is vulnerable. What it means is that love thinks the best of somebody. You know what? We don't always have to think the worst of everybody all the time. I know we get cynical in life and we think everybody, but the reality of it is everybody isn't like that. We all believe the best about our children, believe the best about our mates, and believe the best about the children of God until they prove us differently. You know, all somebody's got to do is drop a negative word about somebody else and they immediately taint your thought about them. I'll call somebody on the telephone and I'll say, or we'll be talking and they'll say, I heard about preacher so-and-so and suddenly something negative will come. And you know what? That'll color my mind, Brother Vernon, about that person. And then I'll meet them and they're nothing like that person said they were. You know what I'm talking about? And there ought to just be in us that thinks the best until we've been proven differently. Number 7, the selflessness of love is meekness. Look at verse number 5 and notice this middle part. Seeketh not her own. It's not selfish. It doesn't demand its rights. And number 8, the self-control of love is temperance. It's not easily provoked. In verse number 5, is not easily provoked. And now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. And so we've seen love defined. We've seen love demanded. And now I want you to see, lastly, love demonstrated. Love is an action word. It's more shown than said. Love can only be seen by what love does. We can say, I love you, I love you, I love you. Young men and young ladies, boys and girls, you can say to your mom and dad, I love you. All you. And by the way, you ought to say I love you to them. Your mom longs to hear you tell her you love her. Your father desires to hear those words, I love you. Because they love you. But you know, sometimes we listen to the lie of the devil, we get this idea that our parents don't love us and they just exist to make me miserable. Because they're keeping me from what I want to do. It may be the opposite. They exist as the authority of God in your life to protect you till you can get old enough to make wise decisions so you don't hurt yourself. And make foolish decisions at a young age that could wreck your life for the rest of your life. And you know what? I think a family ought to practice and make it a habit of saying, I love you, I love you, I love you. But don't just say it, show it by how we act and how we treat one another. And being kind to your mom and dad. Being kind to your parents. Being kind to people. You know what that does? That shows forth. And as we evidence these manifestations of the Spirit, as the Spirit of the Spirit's fruit in our lives, and people see the reality of it, it gives teeth to our words. It gives reality to what we say. We're showing that we love by our actions and our attitudes toward them. See, that's the only way that people really know that we love them. It's not just by what we say, but what we do. And you know what? The greatest demonstration in the world of love the world has ever known is when God sent His Son into the world to die for our sins that we might be saved. Here in His love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the satisfaction, the payment for our sins. Friend, let me tell you something. The greatest picture of love is Calvary and what God did for us on the cross of Calvary. And here's what the Bible says. Love. If God so loved us, we ought to love one another. And God's love ought to be manifest and shown forth in our everyday lives. It ought to be in shoe leather as we go about our daily routines. It ought to be in our homes. It should. Husbands loving their wives and wives loving their husbands and children loving their parents. You say, preacher, what if I don't feel like loving? Well, you just love anyway. You see, love's not a feeling. Love is an action. We're commanded to love, and you cannot command a feeling. And therefore, love is a decision. It's a choice. We choose to love or we choose not to love. It's a choice. I have people that come to me throughout the years of pastoring with marital issues, and one of them will say, well, I just don't love him anymore. I just don't love her anymore. No, the reality of it is you don't feel like you love them because there's something in the relationship that has killed the emotional aspect of it because there are feelings, and thank the Lord for it. But that's not the primary basis and the foundation of it. No, that part is a choice. And when I choose to love, and even when I don't feel like loving, I love anyway. Guess what? The feelings come as the byproduct of doing what God tells me to do. People don't fall in love and fall out of love. No, they choose to love or they choose not to love. You know, the key to rekindling love in your marriage is what Jesus told the church at Ephesus when they had left their first love. He said, go back and do the first works. He said, go back and do the things you used to do when you loved me like you used to love me. You know what? Sometimes what we need to do is go back in our marital relationships and do what we used to do when we loved like we used to love. Write the love notes. Do the special things. Make them feel special. And when we do that, it's amazing how the feelings of love come. The romance rekindles. You know, it's interesting. The Bible, God commands husbands to love their wives, friends to love their foes, saints to love sinners. It's a commanded love. But yet out of that flows the feelings of love. Church, we're to love one another. There's to be love in our homes, there's to be love in our church. Love in our church. I'm going to tell you what, there are many Marilyn Murray O'Hare's out in the world. Now, they're not all avowed atheists like her. But I'm going to tell you what, there's people all over King and surrounding communities, they're starving for somebody to love them. And they're looking for love in all kinds of places and they're not finding it. You know, the world tells you how they feel in the songs that they write and the songs they sing. Looking for love in all the wrong places. Well, that's exactly right. They're looking. Their reason they're not finding it is because they're looking in all the wrong places. And they're starving for it. And you know what the sad fact is? They'll walk into church after church after church and they'll not find it. And when they walk into a place like this, they ought to see a family of believers that love each other. Wouldn't you say a hallmark of a family is love? And if we're the family of God, wouldn't you say a hallmark of this church ought to be love? That we love each other? That we care about each other? And that we love them? There needs to be love in the world. For God so loved the world that He gave. And you know what? We need to pray that God would enable us to have this kind of love and make it a reality in our lives. To love the world the way He loves it. Love this world through me, Lord, this world of broken men. Thou didst love through death, Lord, oh, love in me again. Souls are in despair, Lord, oh, make me know and care. When my life they see, may they behold Thee there, oh, love this world through me. But can I tell you, this world, and listen, as you go through this world, there's people that's hard to love. There are. They're just people that's difficult to love. Now, there's some people easy to love, like me. That's supposed to be funny. That's what I tell my wife anyway. I'm just kidding. There's some people, we just find it easy to love. There's other people, we just find it hard to love. We do. Some people aren't easily, they're not easy to be loved. But you know what God says? Love them anyway. Amen. They may be a little contrary. You know, if you back where I'm from, you say it contrary. You know, that's Appalachian dialect from where I'm from. They're just contrary. You know? We just love them anyway. The only way we can do that is to understand the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And this love can be a reality in my life, and we can learn how to love by discovering God's love for us. We love because He first loved us. And the more I learn of God's love for me, the more I'm going to love Him in return. And when I love Him like I ought to love Him, I'm going to love what He loves like I ought to love. Does that make sense? The Bible's a love story that God has written to tell you how much He loves you. As you bathe your heart and mind in the Word of God and drink deeply of His love, someone wrote, the wonder of it all breaks in upon your soul. The sins of bitterness and envy and jealousy look blacker and blacker against the backdrop of His love and compels us to love Him and those He loves in return. Boy, our homes need love. Our church needs love. Our world needs love. I'm reminded of the life of Dr. Paul Brand. Dr. Brand was a world-known leprosy specialist. He's one of the most respected doctors in the world. However, Dr. Brand left his established career in the United States, went to India to minister and to give treatment to those people that was in a leper colony. He went to those to whom no one else wanted to minister. And he was once treating a young man, and during his examination of the man, he placed his hand on the man's shoulder, and the man began to weep uncontrollably. Dr. Brand asked the translator what he had done to upset the man and cause him to cry. And translators say, he's crying because you put your hand on his shoulder, and until you came here, no one had ever touched him and shown him love in years. Church, people don't really care how much we know until they know how much we care. Can I tell you, the love of God that touches our lives enables us to touch the lives of others. And if some have compassion, making a difference. Evangeline Booth, the daughter of William Booth, the founder of the Salvation Army, sat in a slum one day, cleaning the sores of a drunken woman. A friend walked by and noticed what she was doing, and she said, I wouldn't do that for $1 million. And Evangeline Booth said, neither would I. It wasn't money that compelled her. It was love, and the love of Christ for her and through her. Church, can I remind us tonight, there's people that need our love. There's children that come in on our buses. There's people in our midst. There's those whom we rub shoulders with, that we need to love them with the love of Christ that He loves through us. We need to have His love flowing through us into the lives of others. I said it this morning. I want to say it tonight. Loving the world in general is just an excuse for loving nobody in particular. Who do you need to love? Maybe tonight there's some boys and girls. Listen to preacher and I'm going to be done. You need to go tell your mom and daddy you love them. You might be angry at them. You might be... There's some teenagers that maybe you're at odds with your mom and dad. Can I tell you something? You don't want to go through life that way. It's just going to make you bitter and miserable and angry and angrier as you get older. It's going to affect your relationship with God, your relationship with other people. And I'm going to tell you what, the best thing you can do tonight is to break and just go and say, you know what, I love you. And determine you're going to... You say, but my mom and daddy don't deserve my love. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. Nobody deserves to be loved. Love is something we give. Would you think that Bathsheba deserves Solomon's love? But yet the time came he was king, he pulled another throne up there and said, Mom, I want you to sit here beside of me. He loved her. And there's some teenagers you need to love. Listen, your mom needs to hear you say, I love you. There's some children need to hear some dads tell them they love them. There's some wives and husbands need to hear those words, I love you. There's some Christians that need to be loved tonight. There's a world that needs to be loved. Let's determine that we're going to let Christ love through us. Let's love God's way. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I pray You'll take the message tonight and work in our hearts. Lord, maybe there's some young people tonight that have some unforgiveness in their heart for a mom or dad or a brother or sister. There may be some adults tonight, Lord, that they would have to admit they're not loving like they ought to love. People in their lives, they're not loving them like they should. And Lord, it flows out of the fact that we're not loving You like we should. And I pray, Lord, that we would let You love through us tonight. Help us to be a channel that Your love can flow through us into the lives of other people. Help us to love Your way. And Lord, maybe there's somebody here tonight, they for the very first time have understood that You love them, that You want to save them. And I pray they'll come tonight. God, I praise You work in hearts. People respond. Maybe some husbands and wives, Lord, need to slip forward tonight. And they've got some things going on in their relationship. Maybe not big things, but small things. Or maybe they've just been neglecting each other. Maybe they've just been taking each other for granted. Maybe there's some dads tonight that need to break and have some tenderness in their hearts toward their children. I don't know, Lord, but You do. I pray tonight, Lord, folks will come and they'll do business with You and they'll let You love through them. And that we'll let the Spirit of God manifest the love that's already been shed abroad in our hearts as we yield ourselves to You and we do things Your way rather than our way. In Jesus' name I pray. As we stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Dan singing the invitation hymn, God spoken to your heart, you come.
Jesus is tenderly calling thee home, calling today.
How about it tonight? Are you loving God's way? Is there some love that needs to be cultivated in your life's relationships? Then you come tonight.
Calling today, calling today. Jesus is calling His name. Christ is calling the weary to rest. Calling today, calling today. Bring Him thy burden and thou shalt be blessed. He will not turn thee away. Call.